So what's up, everybody? Corey Sproul, if you don't know who I am, so you'll get to know who I am. But so basically I met Travis in Seattle. I think it was about, like, what'd you say, dog, like 4 years ago?
Yeah, about 4 years ago. Yeah, about four
yeah,
years
yeah.
ago.
So I met Travis like 4 years ago in Seattle. You know, randomly I went to a meetup. And he was there. I think he was like the only black dude there or whatever. And so I think that's what it was. I think it was like, I think we like saw two black people. It was like, yo, what up? What up? And I think that's when like we just became friends, because, you know, I hadn't been seeing many black people. And, you know, I think I saw him and I think that's what happened. But before I came to Seattle, I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. That's, you know what I'm saying? So on the East Coast, it is Southern, but it is very East Coast as well. And so I grew up there on the East Coast. I went to school in Richmond, Virginia, which is about 2 hours away from Virginia Beach. And I went to a school called Virginia Commonwealth University. You know what I'm saying? Went there. I got a degree in theater, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Then once I left there, in 2005, in 2006, I moved to Chicago, Illinois, to continue to pursue, you know, the acting dreams that I had out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm an aspiring actor. I've been aspiring to be an actor now for about 15 years. You know what I mean? But
he already is an actor.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm an actor. I mean, but I'm just saying. You know what I mean? I've always felt in myself I was aspiring to be better. You know, so. But yeah, so anyways, I moved to Chicago in about 2006, for about 8-9 years, acting, also working, in Chicago is where I sort of, you know, got into HR, human resources, and resources career alongside with my acting career, alongside with the voiceover stuff. That all kind of happened in Chicago. And then I had to get out of Chicago, man. It was too damn cold. It was too cold in Chicago, man. So, you know, I left Chicago. I ended up booking a tour. So still as an actor, I booked a tour of a play called A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry. And so that sent me to Alaska. You know what I mean? And so then I went to Alaska in 2012. And I was in Alaska for about 6 months. You know what I mean? And I was in Alaska from January to June of 2012. And then after that, I moved to Seattle. And I moved to Seattle. It was really, I didn't know how long I was going to be here. It was just kind of like, you know what? I'll just do it. We'll see what happens. I'll go in. I had a couple of auditions lined up here, and I ended up booking Shakespeare in the Park. So I ended up doing the Shakespeare in the Park play for the summer of 2012 in Seattle. And it didn't even rain. Like, it was beautiful. The weather was gorgeous. After living in Alaska and living in Chicago for so long and those cold temperatures, like, landing here, I was like, this is the climate I want to be in. And then, you know, I can also be an actor here. And so, you know, that kind of made me stay, or that really made me want to stay in Seattle. And then, you know, shortly after that, you know, I got an HR job, and which has led me to my career now. So, you know, I work full time in human resources, and I do acting sort of on the side, and I do voiceover work as well. And so, you know what I'm saying? I've been talking to Travis about this whole, well, Travis really approached me about the whole podcast thing for the most part, and his whole new tool with Anchor. He was like, yo, this could be dope. We could do a podcast or whatever. We kind of have a different, you know, different really background, you know what I mean? Like, our journey has been different, you know what I mean? And like, it's cool that we're still to be able to be friends, but like, have completely a lot of the same views for sure, a lot of things in common for sure, but like, you know, our viewpoints on like how we see the world and, you know, these overarching issues. And, you know, I think now in this time that we're in a very pivotal point, you know, in our history. And I feel like it's a pivotal point because everybody's picking a side, you know what I mean? Everyone is sort of joining in on this tribalism thing and sort of, you know, not dealing with someone else on the other side whose views are different than yours. And I feel like at that time, right, like the main thing we need to do is we need to try the best we can to continue to communicate to each other, you know what I mean? To continue to try to be friends, to continue to try to, you know, still work on these issues that we feel differently about. Because once we stop working together, which I feel like we have, you know, in this current climate, then that leads for a lot of other influences to come in, you know, into our society. And I feel like, I mean, we are the ones that are going to change it. And, at the end of the day, I think we all got to find common ground, man. You know what I mean? And I think, I think when me and Travis's discussions, we don't always come to a point where, where we meet and we completely agree with each other. But the thing is that we continue to talk and we continue to try to work our way through, the issues and talk about the issues that are, that are challenging, us as young Black men, us as living in, in Seattle, Washington, which is where we at, Like, the grind here in Seattle, very different grind than it is in the rest of the country. But it still is a part of the whole, right? The fabric of the world. And so, I felt like, when he mentioned the podcast, I thought about it for a little bit and I was like, yo, I think this could be a really great idea, for people who are interested in hearing two different people, who came from two different areas or whatever and have, different opinions on certain things, but are still able to joke and laugh, at the end of the day, and still able to go grab a beer, go grab some food, talk about these issues. And I think that's dope. And And so so I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's see if people will be interested in our conversations. And so hence why we have this podcast. I don't think we have a name for this podcast, all right, dog? We don't have anything for it, right?
I would say it's fairly simple. We can just keep it as like the Corey and Travis podcast. Like, keep it simple as that. Because we don't have a specific, I guess, idea of what topics we're necessarily going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because we'll just talk about different things. Like we'll come to our audience with every podcast with a new subject. It won't be the same as regarding as politics. It can be entertainment. It can be based off different types of aspects of the American culture. But it's just that let's keep it as a Corey and Travis podcast.
Yeah. Okay. That's dope. I'm with that.
Yeah.
That's cool. So go ahead, man. You know what I'm saying? Take a break. Break it down. Tell the people where you're from.
Oh, okay. Of course. So I'm Travis Torrance. I originate from St. Louis, Missouri. I came to Seattle in about 2013. Most people ask me, why did I move here? And a lot of times, I guess they speculate it's because of for work or it's because of the culture. I came to Seattle because I was bored. I didn't come because I heard Seattle was the place to be. Like, no, I was bored. I heard things different. I came to Seattle because I love rain, and I thought Seattle was going to rain a lot. Unfortunately, no, it rains more in St. Louis, so I made a bad decision. I've been here ever since. I do like certain aspects of Seattle. I'm not a huge fan of Seattle due to the current conditions of our political climate in our world, and other reasoning as well. But I used to serve in the United States Marine Corps. I served in the Marine Corps for 4 years. After I did that, I was going to school while in the Marine Corps, I finished my studies at the University of Missouri and in Germany as well. Studied abroad, and after that, it led me to focus in my career in administration, and pretty much most of my job fields is based off administration. And ever since then, I'm just a guy who works out, who likes to travel, who likes to converse with different types of people. I love communication. I think communication is a huge part of us being human. And I feel like it's starting to become a dying art. As Corey illustrated that, people tend to be very tribal on what they want to address or, I guess, connect with. And I feel that's the wrong way for us to go as a species. We don't always necessarily have to agree to get along, but we do have to understand that we all live in the same place. And we can still be very cordial about how we collect ourselves or come at each other about solving issues. Because at the end of the day, all issues, every issue affects us all. And we need to come with the best solution that helps works out for everyone. And I know me and Corey, we have very different aspects, and it is based off like how we grew up, our experience in life. But I do appreciate the fact that we're still friends, even though we have different outlooks on the world as a whole. And that's the only thing I can come across, because Corey pretty much answered everything himself.
Yeah.
So right now we're here with a podcast, and we're just going to tell you about, we're going to have different discussions about different things, and it's not always going to be the same subject, but we're going to give our opinions on it. And sometimes we're going to definitely agree. Every episode isn't going to be about disagreeing on the same subject. You know, that's not how it is. We can't just come like, oh, I'm just going to come up with some reason not to agree with you. No, we might agree on some things, and we might disagree on some things. But at the end of the day, we're all individuals. We all have different ideas. We all grew up differently. We all experienced different things. And that's who shaped us as human beings.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of being of us being humans, that we all have different aspects. We all don't want to be the same, because we don't want to be in a group mindset. And I think that brings into a very dangerous territory in itself. So that being said, how do you want to begin this, Corey?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, like I say, let's just, you know, I guess let's just jump into the topic. Cut this, you think, and then go into the topic, or we can just roll into it.
We can roll into it. Like, so what's the topic you want to talk about first? Because I know I brought out some a couple things to you.
And yeah,
you
know,
which one you want to talk about first?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I mean, I think the thing is, let's get into the Terry Crews thing, man. You know, I know you hit me up about the Terry Crews. I had heard about it. I had not really paid attention to it. I mean, when I heard about it, I read like a headline, you know what I'm saying, about it. And I didn't go into read the article. And so I didn't know much about it. It wasn't what I was following and stuff like that. And so
right.
You mentioned that. And then you sent me the tweet or the text. You sent me a text, and you were like, you said he should get his man car ripped away. And when you said that's when I was more interested. I was like, oh snap, okay, I need to listen, I need to read, I need to look in that thing, because I want to know, like, you know, why you feel he should get his man car snatched away. And so, like, I did go on, I saw the interview he did with Congress. So I watched all 18 minutes of the interview that he did with Congress.
Right.
Well, he watched for 18 minutes of the interview, I guess I would say. And so it's the beginning of it, and it goes into sort of, you know, why he feels the need to be talking to Congress. But man, Travis, I'm gonna let you go ahead and break into it first, man. And so, you know, what points, you know, on Terry Crews, and why did you feel like that he should have passed away?
Well, I'll very definitely address his situation, because I know Terry Crews is trying to support this whole hashtag Me Too movement, which me personally, I think is a joke. You know, I know everyone has their different aspects, and I'm one person that I'm heavily against you know, sexual harassment of any case. You know, like, it is something that needs to be addressed, and it is something I feel like has been addressed. It's just that the whole situation with the Me Too movement is that it's privileged people addressing a situation, not for criminal reasons, not to have the criminal aspect be resolved, but for financial reasons to be resolved. And with Terry Crews, and when I heard Terry Crews' situation when he was at Congress, you know, I'm not here to judge a man who has been sexually harassed, because, you know, it is, men do get sexually harassed. It's a very thing that's not really talked about in, I guess, American culture. Men do get sexually harassed. But the way he went about it, and I think this is what people should be very concerned about, it, is that Terry Crews is part of a culture, which is Hollywood culture. That means he knows who he's representing. He knows who he knows he has connections. He knows who he's going to associate with regarding any party that he attends. So when something does happen, he knows who to address for the situation. The situation was this. Terry Crews went to a party, went to a gala. He got his balls touched. You know, some dude touched his balls. He knew the guy. They were being joking. And the thing is, from what I heard, it was more than 5 seconds. You know, someone like touching another guy's balls. And I'm going to say this. I don't know what man will let another man touch his balls and not get his ass whooped. So the question is, why did Terry let another man grab his balls? And then after the situation, he didn't, as Terry Crews said, he didn't attack the guy, because, and I'll get to the point why Terry Crews said he didn't attack the guy, but he didn't attack the guy. What he did is the next day, he went to an agency that hired a guy to address his concerns. Now, my whole thing is this. If a guy touches you that you don't feel comfortable about, that's where you call the fucking police. All right. Especially if you don't want to whoop his ass, you call the police. And then what was crazy about the whole situation, he filed charges a year later. Not a day after the situation. He filed charges a year later. That means that motherfucker was resonating, sitting on it, like, hey, honey, should we still think about this today? Like, yeah, motherfucker touched your balls and you didn't feel good about it. And I'm not mad at what 50 Cent said. 50 Cent was right. What the fuck you working out for if you ain't gonna whoop nobody ass who disrespects you? What's the point? What's the point you working out for? So Terry Crews was out there vouching that it was a very bad situation. It's men of power who got away with this. And he said the reason he didn't do anything is that he didn't want to look as an angry black man. At the end of the day, Lil Wayne said it best. Money is the motive. And I understand a lot of people were vouching that Terry Crews couldn't do anything because this is his work and life. But that's not the right message to send. Regardless, even in the corporate world, if someone harasses you, you still take action on it. Regardless of any situation, you take action on it. I don't think there's any excuse for Terry to say that he didn't have no reason to take action on it at that moment because he was fearful of his job. No, someone harassed you. You didn't want to beat his ass because you didn't want it to look bad on you. You still have enough time to file charges. And he did not do that. And now he's at Congress trying to complain. And even Congress even brought it out like, you're a big, strong man. Why didn't you take action? He did play the race card of saying, like, oh, I'm a black man. I'm not supposed to, it looks bad on me to respond. And I think that was bullshit. Because as a black man, and I can't speak for all black men, like Terry Crews can't speak for all black men himself, but I'll be damned if I let anyone take advantage of me, touch me inappropriately, and me not do anything about it. My pride is more important than a dollar with George Washington face on it or Benjamin Franklin's. But that was my talk on it. How would you address it, I guess, like in your sense, how you feel about this? I mean, from what you do know about it.
So I mean, from what I know about it, like I said, is what you described in the situation is. And my stance on it, man, is once I saw what Terry Crews had to say, what he said to Congress, and honestly, I felt what he had to say was plausible, man. I really did. I don't, being of the entertainment industry, right? I'm not in it, you know what I'm saying? But I am a bit of an actor, and I've been knowing people who are in the industry, for a long time. And the thing that what he said, and I thought it was very poignant, and I thought that it definitely makes sense, right? And it connected it all into why the Me Too movement, why he had to join in on the Me Too sort of movement, and why that was important for him to join in on the Me Too movement, in my opinion. And so to address sort of the first thing you said, in regards to Terry and him being a rich person, an elite, a rich elite. Because he is, he is rich. But he's an actor, and I know actors, right? I know what the mentality of an actor is. I know what the mentality of someone is who has been dreaming of something, to do, dreaming of wanting to have a dream career. Many actors who make it in Hollywood, it was a dream. It wasn't something that they were like, I'm gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? And so I think Terry Crews started as a bodyguard or something like that. And so the thing is what I can say with that with Congress, and he said that the women, many of the women who've been abused, and especially in the industry, and as well as himself as well, is that it's a dream to get to the place of where he's at in his career. And the fact that he was grabbed, by his genitals, by the guy who was the head of the motion picture department with his agency, the guy who was the head of the department. Now, I know, Travis, like to you in regards to that, like, regardless of whoever it is, you want to knock someone out. You got to understand something, you know what I mean? Terry Crews is, yes, he has a lot of money. He wants to make films. He wants to be up for films. And so it's a real awkward position to be placed in. And he addressed it, definitely for someone who is of a certain class, a certain respect that's there, touches you. He said the guy touched him twice. He said the second time he touched him in front of his wife, that this guy did this. And so he said at the time when it happened, he did say something. He did yell at the guy. He did yell at the guy, and then him and his wife left. And his point was, why he called off and beat the guy up and be that way, You know, he did go into the narrative now, and it's not a narrative, I mean, it's a real thing. You know, African Americans in regards to aggression, African American men and aggression. I mean, it's like one in the same, right? It's that stereotype. And here Terry Crews is, who's a big diesel man, right? Who could easily be that stereotype. He chooses to not. And in my opinion, in that regard, the fact that he chose, because you know daggone well, it took for him everything in his body to not hit that guy. And he didn't hit that guy because that one split decision, it could have really at the time really messed his career up. Because at the end of the day, the reason why he said he didn't come out when he agency, but he didn't come out when the agency sort of, because the guy called him and apologized. But anyway, I'll get into that. But why he didn't is because no one would believe him. And you know what? No one would believe him. No one would have believed him. This was before the Me Too movement. It would have not been a headline. It would have not been a headline. It wouldn't have been. Truth of it. And the fact that he's six, he's whatever he is, and he didn't beat the guy up, nobody would have believed that. And so I would disagree. That he wouldn't have beat the guy up, that he didn't beat the guy
no,
up.
I would disagree that it wouldn't have gotten any attention, because the Me Too movement started in 2016. Actually, it started before that, in 2015. When it was being expressed heavily on Twitter. But in 2016 is when the situation occurred. Now, I believe that we can't necessarily speculate what could have happened. We only can speak on what has happened now. We couldn't if he did react on this guy harassing him and him responding with physical violence, that it wouldn't necessarily career in his career, because you don't know how, like, yes, it is a possibility it would have fucked up his career to where he didn't get any more jobs. But it also could have brought in more charges to the guy harassing him. Police looking like this was assault because he didn't want it. He didn't ask for it. We don't know that. Terry Crews went on a different route. And I understand the dream is to get higher into that franchise, which is why a lot of people, a lot of conversation has been sparked with the Harvey Weinstein situation, because it's not that he used his power to manipulate these women into positions. Now, in a lot of arguments that I have seen, is people say that, like, look, if your well-being is more important than getting a career, then who is to say that this person should be attacked on taking advantage of that when you have the same willpower to walk away? But I understand, like you said, it's a dream. The dream is to get here. And it is kind of sad that some people have to sacrifice their own well-being to get ahead. But that isn't something new in Hollywood, and that is something that everyone knew about in Hollywood. And it's kind of throwing me off how it's a talking point now, as in politics, when it's something that's been talked about even before the situation that's occurring now. It's been talked about in the early 60s, in the early 50s. It's always been talked about. I just think that, like, with Terry Crews' situation, is that he looked at the scenario that he was worried about his paycheck. And I understand why people use that, like, that's okay, because, and you're right, as a black man, we do our look at as aggression. But I don't think that's just a black man. That's just men. That is a situation with men, and not even just men. Honestly, I take that back. It's not just men. Women too. It's just that the notion of that, like, it's a concept that you have to defend yourself, because there's a reason why we're teaching women self-defense classes to deal with harassment. It's just because that's a natural defense for men. Has been talked about within our culture, you know, men and women, I guess gender specific, is that men have to protect themselves if they're being attacked. And the reason we're teaching self-defense for women, are we promote it heavily, is so women can have that same mindset as well. So when Terry Crews decided not to do that, when he was being so-called harassed, and like you said, he yelled about it and he walked away and he decided to take action with the agency. But at the end of the day, this was a criminal offense. This was something that was wrongfully done to him. He still needed to go the same proper channels as we would expect women who are being harassed to go about the same proper channels. Regardless of how you feel emotionally about me, you being black, white, or whatever, you still need to use the system that is created for your benefit. And that's my argument with Terry Crews, is that we can't necessarily say what could have happened. We only can look at what did happen, and we have to go by that. And I'm not here to blame anybody. I just feel like Terry Crews, he could have been about it. Honestly, he could have handled that better than just going to Congress and sitting there and complaining about something that was, honestly, he had control of. But that's just me. That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, that is your opinion. I mean, I definitely feel differently about it. I definitely feel differently about it. I think the thing is that, the Harvey Weinstein thing, we understand the Harvey Weinstein thing, and that's been talked about in Hollywood, those things happening. The thing is that, we don't recognize things until a person or has this happened to them. That's when we recognize it as a nation, because Terry Crews mentioned it. He's like, this happens in Hollywood, but this has happened more heavily in lower branches, right? In different departments that are not Hollywood. This is rampantly happening where harassment is happening. I work in human resources. I know harassment is absolutely happening out there. You know what I mean? That's why we're always increasing harassment things.
You don't think that it's not addressed enough? Because I mean, in every aspect of that I've worked in, sexual harassment is definitely addressed on how you should handle it. Yeah. If you feel that you are uncomfortable, you need to address it.
The thing is, Travis, that what you're missing the whole point of it. The whole point of it is about the power, right? It is people who are in powerful positions using their power to harass. That is something that we don't address. That is something that we have not addressed. And that is something, if you've ever been in a position where you have been harassed, someone who has a power over you, who pays your paycheck, who whatever controls that makes it all the more harder. And they have your life in their hands, because that's what Terry Crews was speaking about. And that's what the Me Too movement is talking about. It's talking about, and it's dealing with people where there are people who are in positions of power who are using that power to harass people. And I do human resources, and that is not in the human resource training. Okay, it's a bit in there for sure. It is. I mean, yes, it is a bit in there, and it is addressed. That's for sure. It is addressed, but mainly they go into issues. They go into coworker issues. Yes, definitely they talk about issues and your manager, maybe saying some things. Yes, that is addressed, but not in a certain a person who literally has in terms of people who we know, Matt Lauer, Harvey Weinstein, these people are powerful, powerful people at their jobs. They get people fired. They get people hired. Like, this is what we're talking about. And this
but
is
isn't that what happening. A lawsuit is for?
Yeah. But the thing is, Travis, is that in our culture, and I don't know how you say that in our culture, that it has not been a situation where, I mean, many women have been harassed, and it's not looked at as harassment. It's looked at as whatever.
I've also seen women use it to take advantage to get themselves in a position of power and use that power to take advantage of others themselves.
So you really,
when
you,
I was in the Marine Corps,
you believe I've that seen that's a, happening the most, though? You really believe that women are using harassment to get ahead in their jobs mostly? You think that's the most thing happening?
I want to say I don't think it's heavily, but I have seen women use their sexual prowess to get positions of power. I even had a conversation with a woman who was in the Army. And she even said she sucked dick to become a sergeant. This is a conversation I had with a woman that was in the military. She sucked it to get ahead.
This does not negate harassment, though, Travis. It doesn't negate harassment, dog.
The point is that you're talking about position of power. Position of power. So a man who has position, he's letting a woman that he know that he can take advantage of to get her in a position that she will heavily benefit from. That's still a form of abuse. Regardless, on both sides, but I'm not saying that I'm not saying it's acceptable. I'm not necessarily saying it's acceptable. I'm just saying it's one thing that is you can't just look it from one side. You can't. You have to look it from both sides, and it is something that needs to be investigated.
The
other side is people. The other side is people using it to take advantage to get themselves in. You talk about position of power. The other side is people using this. They know what's happening, but they're using this to get themselves ahead of the game. That's the other side.
Who is a person that came on and said someone harassed me to get ahead in the game? Who is this person who was harassed?
They don't say that. They don't say that. And that's the conversation people are talking about. The conversation is that we know people that you're coming out saying that you've been harassed. But at the end of the day, you're using it. You're allowing this person to, I guess, use you so you can get your benefits out of it. which is like I guess one example someone used for the Harvey Weinstein with certain actresses that they did what they said for Harvey Weinstein so they can get this part, which helped them get more stability in Hollywood. And that's the argument people will use against it, is that you still took you were taking advantage so you can get somewhere you needed to be in life. And that's where people are conflicted with.
I don't know with that. I don't think people are conflicted with that. I do, you know, yes, it is not just a one-sided issue. Harassment, the fact that it's been able to go on, it is something that's in our society. You know, I do think that for a long time, women have been scared to speak things because of the situation of, you know, the same thing like you said, because there's a ton of people out there who believe, well, you did this to put yourself, I mean, it's like any little thing, oh, but you did this. At the end of the day, harassment is never allowed. It should never, ever be. And the thing is that, you know,
this is all types of harassment, right? Yeah. Not just sex harassment, just all types of harassment.
I get that. But at the end, what I totally get that. But what we're speaking to is the Me Too movement, and keeping that in the Me Too movement, it's we're looking at, I mean, it's all types of harassment for sure, but it's harassment of power. It's people of power. That's what the Me Too movement is about. And I think, you know, in my opinion, and taking it back to Terry Crews, you know, like I said, and what he was doing is, yes, he brings notoriety to the situation. He's bringing a situation that, listen, this happens to men too, which, right? We should remember that, yes, men get harassed too, and it does happen to men too. And men are the most people who are scared to speak out about it, you know, who are afraid to speak out about it. Absolutely. You know what I mean? And it's totally a stigma if a man comes out and says that. So in my opinion, in that regard, still Terry Crews being the big diesel man he is, you know, it's going to take notice now, because we have the Me Too movement, for him to come apart and tell his story. Because yeah, there's some story. I'll be honest with you. I would never want to tell someone that damn story. That would never be something to look at and go, oh, you know, why would he want to tell people that some guy grabbed him on his genitals? You would never want to do that. And I can see, you know, why he probably never wanted to come out and say something about that. You know what I mean? But in the day,
why would he not? Why would he not? You don't mind me asking. Why would you, from your perspective, why would he not?
Because it's embarrassing. Embarrassing for one thing, for it to happen. And honestly, what I believe is, I don't think people would have, I think, yes, people who know him would have believed it. People who know the guy would have believed it. People who were at that party would have believed it. But in large retrospect, you know, in the mainstream media, it wouldn't have been a huge story, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Because let me hear me out. The guy did call him and apologize and said he was drunk and had a whole thing. And that's the thing. That's what they want. You know what I mean? They did. And I agree, that was not right. But what I'm saying is, in that plausibility, that's okay. He called, he was drunk. That's where we're going to leave it at. You know what I mean? Like, but there's situations in the Me Too movement. And like I said, Terry Crews, I thought he was brave to go to Congress and tell his story and tell his side and do what he had to do. And, you know, and I thought, and in my opinion, I think it does still, and it pushes the Me Too movement forward, because the one thing, this is what I'll say, and then I can get away from this and walk away from the Me Too. The Me Too movement is important for the kids. It's important for the young girls. They need to see the Me Too movement, because at the end of the day, yes, I do believe it's on both sides. And I do believe that, you know, young girls need to grow up with it in them that if any of this ever happens to them, that they have the freedom that they can step forward and say that, hey, this. And if any young boy as well, something happened to them in a workplace, that they have the freedom to step through and say that this is wrong. This is wrong. And so we don't have this thing where people are waiting. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's why movements are important. They're not necessarily, we know we're adults, but for the kids, because they need to see the change. And that's where I sit with it, honestly.
I won't disagree. I agree with you on the aspect that the younger generation needs to know of what is wrong and what is right. But my whole thing is that I want to end it with this. Like, I don't agree with the Me Too movement, because from the individuals who have used it for themselves are not ones who have, I won't necessarily say I don't have sympathy for them, but it's just that I have seen that the situation is that it has worked. The situation they have gotten into, it has worked for them, in their long time career. And I wouldn't necessarily think that Me Too movement is the standing point. It's the laws that are already in place. There are already sexual harassment laws in place and for our generation to combat this. It's just that the one thing we do need to do, the one thing I think is heavily influenced, that needs to be influenced in our culture, is for speaking up. Is that you shouldn't wait just to speak up on something that has happened to you. If you felt like you have been endangered, abused at any time in your life regarding a coworker, relationships, regardless, you need to speak out on it, because it's just not affecting you. It could affect anyone in the future. And that's the only thing I will leave it as. Like, it's not the Me Too movement. I think sexual harassment is a huge thing that needs to be talked about regarding people speaking up, men and women. But I think the Me Too movement has been abused. And that's where I will leave it as. If you want to continue talking on, we can. But
Yeah, I think honestly, dog,
it's really up to you.
I think we put a, I think we spent a lot of time on it. I think what we
Yeah.
should do though, I think we should end it and then start a whole new one with a new topic.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah,
we can definitely do
because I
that.
think like
We
we
can definitely
shooting
do
on right now. This is 36 minutes in. This is a long
that.
time.
What is 36 minutes
We
in?
36 minutes in, yo. This is a long time. So
All right.
I think we should cut it and then start a whole new one.
Okay, so let's move on to the next topic of discussion, since like we want to keep it at three.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Meek Mill situation, right?
Yeah, we can get to the Meek Mill situation for sure.
All right. So express your whole
But
deal
my
with
my thing,
Meek
but my thing though is that isn't it easier to edit it if we stop this and do
Mill.
as in then running this whole thing together? If we stop this and then add the other recording to it, right?
I mean, what kind of recording did you want to add to it, though?
Well,
That's
I
the
feel
question.
well, because I, what I feel like is if when we release this, I think. It's I feel like if our first one is longer than 40 minutes, I don't know. I think we should keep it at that one topic, like us
Yeah,
introducing
okay, we can
ourselves.
do that.
You know what I mean?
We can do that.
I
Yeah.
think
So
we should
you want to end it right now?
right now and then start a whole new one on the Meek Mill thing.
Okay, let's do it. All right.
All right.
I'll hang up right now.
All right, cool.